Hello and welcome back to MetalDisciple.com's Metalheads Podcast. My name is George.
And I am Buke.
And we are back once again after yet another untimely break.
Self-imposed by nobody.
By nobody. By just, motherfucking nature.
By Mother Nature. You know, George and I were ready. We had a band lined up. Yesterday, Saints were going to come in and join us. And then dumped a bunch of snow here.
Yeah, the worst snow of the year just happens to land on the day that yesterday Saints are supposed to be here with us. So we tried to reschedule with them. We couldn't get anything worked out before. They're going on tour here in a couple days. They're going to be gone out for the rest of March. So we're going to try and get together with them again when they get back, maybe in April. So I know we mentioned it last time, but unfortunately this episode, no yesterday Saints. But we will be getting with those guys because they rock.
So we're back, and we are here in our new redesigned studio that you've put together here. Of course, this is an audio podcast, but George has adorned the walls with Manowar posters, brought in some nice old amps that look pretty sick. Look at those couple vinyls you got framed on the wall.
Yeah.
Man, this is nice. And thank you for the arrogant bastard I'm drinking now.
Yes, that's right, you arrogant bastard.
You'll be drinking later when we go up to Baltimore. But thanks, and glad to be doing it again with you, brother.
Yeah, good to have you back. So, I don't know, maybe like a month ago.
No, don't even say a month ago. This was probably 2 weeks. And knowing you, I can just assume you've dove in head first is an understatement.
Oh, yeah. I am Mr. Obsessive Compulsive. When I sink my teeth into something, I don't let go. I like hold on to it, and I'm like a rat dog. I'm like, arr, arr,
arr. You little honey badger.
Exactly. I don't give a fuck. No. But however long it was ago, a couple of weeks, a month, Buke sends me a text, and he's like, hey, check this out. And it was for an app called Tidal, T-I-D-A-L. And it's like Spotify, but for lossless quality music.
Yeah, because the Spotify only goes up to what? Extreme 320.
Yeah, at best you're getting 320K out of there, which is better than like, you know, iTunes and things like that. We've talked in the past about the sound quality war and how, you know, there are people out there saying, look, don't settle for MP3s. You're not getting the full sound quality. And of course, as vinyl listeners, we tend to agree with that. And I've dabbled with lossless formats in the past, but they were expensive and they take up a lot of space.
Yeah, space was always my problem.
Yeah. And so I was just like, whatever, this is good enough. Well, good enough is not good enough anymore.
Not anymore.
I started listening to some music on Tidal and I was like, I was trying to compare because it's like $20 a month for Tidal as opposed to $10 a month for Spotify. So I'm like listening to stuff on Spotify and then listening to the same thing on Tidal. And I'm like, is there a vast, huge difference? Depends on the song. Some things, it was minimal that I could tell the difference. Mm-hmm. And some things, I was like, wow, that is definitely way better.
Just like some things on vinyl. I've got some records, and I'm like, did they use a copy of a CD to burn this vinyl?
Yeah. But what really put me over the edge, I was driving in the car, and I was listening to that last Volbeat album.
Okay.
And I was listening to my favorite song on that album, The Nameless One. Fucking love that song. And I'm like, yeah, you know, all right, this is cool. My radio, I had it up to like 11. This one goes to 11. But, you know, I mean, it goes much, much higher than that. But that's the volume setting in my car. It was at 11. And it probably not loud by most people's standards. But that's about as high as I could get the volume before it really kind of started distorting. And I was like, oh, well, let me see if this is on Tidal. Lo and behold, it is. So I pull it up. I start playing it. I'm like, oh, well, that sounds pretty good. I could probably turn that up a little bit. Turn it up to 12, 13, 14. I'm all the way up to 18.
Wow.
Okay. No distortion. Fucking, I mean, it was to the point where it was so loud my ears were hurting, but the sound quality had not degraded.
Wow, that's impressive.
I was like, damn. Okay. No fucking way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm. Fuck you, MP3. Be gone from my house. So I went back home. I was still using the trial at that point. Yeah. I immediately signed up. I drank the Kool-Aid, and I immediately started re-ripping my entire CD collection as FLAC lossless files. Now, it's probably been 10 years since I ripped the bulk of my CD collection.
It has.
And back then, I ripped everything at 128K, which is just horrendously awful. At the time, space was at a premium. and I wanted to fit everything onto a hard drive. Well, I just recently, like a week ago, picked up a 6 terabyte drive to now house all of this re-ripped music. So I think I got plenty of room. But like I said, it's been 10 years, so the majority of my music collection is in 128K. I've been periodically ripping like the Metallicas and the Megadeths and things like that at 320K so I can get a little better quality. And I had intended to go through and do that for the majority of the albums that I actually like.
And to show you how much you've become hooked, we will mention an album when we get to the news that contains a lot of tracks. And you went ahead and you downloaded that.
Yes, I did.
So we'll get to that.
And it's on my phone even. So I've started re-ripping my collection. And it's funny because I stopped collecting CDs about 10 years ago. You know, I'd pick up the occasional CD, but mostly I would buy things on iTunes or get them through, you know, from the record labels and things like that. And then, of course, I started collecting vinyl. And so, you know, I had my digital format and my vinyl format. Now, as I'm going through and re-ripping all my CDs, I'm thinking about all the albums I need to get on CD now.
Oh, man.
I stopped collecting CDs because of space. Because I have so many CDs, there's like no room for them anymore. Likewise, vinyl, I really kind of have to start to put a halt on it because I'm running out of room. The wife's getting angry with all the vinyl I got.
But we are taking a trip after we're done here.
And you know what? I'm going to be looking for vinyl and CDs.
Wow.
But I don't want to pay for CDs, okay? You know, because, granted, at least they take up less space.
I have the resolution to this. George, your old house, you had a basement studio. Let's get the studio back together here in your basement. Let's get our favorite bands to come in. Let's get yourself some master recordings in your hand. Yes, that's the only thing where you can go from here. You know? If you could have the master tracks in your hand to edit them as you please.
That'll be my retirement collecting when I'm old and I can go out and go to auction and buy Led Zeppelin master tapes. But CDs are obviously a higher quality than MP3. Because I've been buying the majority of my music as MP3 for the last decade, there's major albums that I don't have on CD that I would like to get the CD for cheap, you know, buy them used. I don't want to pay more than like $5 for a CD and then rip the FLAC music files so that I can have that portable. This piggybacks on, I had to buy a FLAC player app for my phone because Apple's music app won't play FLAC files, which I'm okay with because I don't know about you. I don't think you've had this problem, but for me, for like the last year, it's damn near impossible to sync files, music files, to and off of my iPhone.
My iPhone 5 was like that, and the 4. You know how it seems like? It starts out fine, and after a period of time, whatever iPhone I have, syncing problems and stuff start showing themselves.
Straight out of the box, iPhone 6 Plus won't sync music. You know, if I try and I'm patient and I want to wait like an hour, I might be able to get music onto my phone. Mm-hmm. No matter what I do, I cannot take music off my phone. Hmm. I have like gone in and unchecked the music and like tried to say, okay, take all the music off my phone. It won't do it.
Do you remember the years back when you could plug this in and it acted like a USB device? And the fact where you could explore it and file explore and view all the folders and stuff contained? That was easy.
I don't understand why Apple can't do it right. I mean, it was fine for years. I've been using it since iPhone 1.
Yeah, we have.
And it was never a problem until the last couple of years. And it just infuriates me. And so the nice thing about this FLAC player is that instead of syncing my music to the phone, I can go into iTunes, go down to apps, select the FLAC player, and then there's just a button that just, you click add, you search your drive and tell it what to add. And to get the music off my phone, I just select the album and hit delete. I don't have to deal with this syncing bullshit anymore. So that's another reason for me to go FLAC. Once you go FLAC, you never go back.
I was just looking. I typed in Neil Diamond, but it didn't come back to him.
Did you mean King Diamond?
No. There's a well-known artist in the music world who actually invested a lot of the money behind the company.
Neil Young.
Neil Young. That's it. Who wasn't? Weren't they doing a FLAC?
Yeah, player? It's like Pwn player, yeah, or something, yeah, like that.
Someone like that, right?
It's butt ugly.
It is ugly, but the device is solely made for
high definition
music. Yeah, high definition music.
Right. He's got the right idea, but poor execution, I think. I mean, I was looking at that, of course.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, well, what can I do here? You know? And it supports up to 128 gigabyte SD card.
But you're still being picky on what you want, though, at that time.
And the fact that it's like triangular shaped, I'm like, it doesn't fit easily in the pocket. It's just, no.
Break out the fanny pack.
I just don't like it. So yeah, for the moment, I'm stuck with the iPhone. And I was thinking the other day, you know, back when I first started doing this, the record labels used to send out actual physical CD promos. You know, they'd come in the mail and you'd get the CD, you know, it wouldn't come in like a full case or anything, but, you know, they'd have the liner notes and like a little plastic sleeve that was in, and they'd send you a bio sheet and things like that. And then, of course, when everything went digital, the labels started sending out digital files. Saves them on shipping, and, you know, it makes complete sense to me. However, that means they are now sending reviewers less than perfect recordings. I'm like, record labels need to be sending out lossless FLAC files to the reviewers so they're getting the best possible face on what you want them to review. I mean, some of these companies, I'm not going to name any names, but they'll send out like 192K promos. Most of them send out 320K at least, but even that, comparatively.
When they send out promos, do they give you a couple links that you can pick from, or is it just...
No.
Okay.
No, most of them don't. It's just like, here's a link, download it.
Yeah. Now, and we also should say that if this sounds interesting to you and you want to get into this, this is really, you probably shouldn't dive into this at $20 a month if your listening experience is occurring on daily iPhone earbuds.
Right.
Right? Wouldn't you say that this is probably something that you need to...
If you're listening on iPhone earbuds, you don't give a shit about sound quality anyway, okay? But if you do care about sound quality, you know, you can go... I could have gone, if I wanted to make my life easier, I could have gone with the Apple lossless instead of FLAC. But fuck Apple, first of all. I'm tired of having to do things their way.
Yeah.
You know, everything I have is Apple. I drank the Kool-Aid. But FLAC just seems more universally accepted, and I don't want to have to stop and convert everything. Everything that I can get, I'd have to stop and convert it. I don't want to deal with that, so I'm just going to stay in FLAC. One other thing on this topic, I saw this, I don't remember where I came across this now, but there's this guy, his name is Ryan McGuire, and he wanted to know, what exactly are you losing when you go for an MP3 instead of a high-definition file? And so he took a song, and it wasn't a metal song, it was, I can't remember who it was, some woman singer. He took her song, and he converted it from a lossless format to an MP3 format. And I don't know how he did it, but he captured everything that was lost, the audio that was all cut when it was converted to MP3. And he played this track. And you can listen to the song, and all you're hearing is the stuff that's been cut. And you're like, damn, you know, there's a lot of, I mean... It's kind of creepy sounding because, like, it's like, you know, like you can't make out the words.
But you probably bundle that back into.
But there's like a lot of the beat is gone, and like the music, and you know, and parts of the vocals, and it's just like, wow. It shows you what you're losing when you convert to MP3. You know, so you can go online, look for Ryan McGuire, Ghost in the MP3, and check this out. It's pretty amazing.
He'd be a good guest to get on and speak to. About this. Be pretty interesting.
Yeah. Changing subjects. I recently got fed up with and canceled my Revolver subscription. Fuck Revolver. I was catching up on my back issues. I subscribed to Metal Hammer, Terrorizer, Revolver, and Decibel. The American ones, obviously, kind of lame compared to the British ones.
Yeah.
But Revolver, I just couldn't fucking take it anymore. First of all, they're Golden Gods awards that are fucking a joke. They're not even any metal bands. And I was going through their, like, best of 2014 list, and it was all Pierce the Veil and Black Veil Brides.
Korn, right?
Yeah, there was nothing actually fucking metal in this magazine. I was like, okay, I'm fucking done. I'm fucking done. These guys fucking suck. Decibel at least has some metal in there. It's not as good as the other two British magazines, but it's still metal. This Revolver, fuck you, Revolver. You fucking suck.
And there's kids still who picked it up and look at it, and that's shaping them and their, you know, idea of what metal is.
Yeah.
My daughter won't be reading them.
No. So I was driving home the other day, and I was listening to Eddie Trunk on the XM radio, and he was talking about bands that use musicians off stage, like extra musicians. Like, I think his example was Kiss. Some bands, you know, I mean, you record an album, and when you record an album, you layer tons of guitars and keyboards and drums and whatever on there because you want to make this album sound badass. When it comes to recreating that live, it's not always something that four or five or six people can do. So it makes sense that, you know, you go out on tour, maybe you bring an extra guitar player or a keyboard player that's not normally a member of the band or whatever. That's accepted if that's what it takes to play this live. But then there's bands, and this has been going on for years and years, they'll have somebody off stage or underneath the stage playing or singing or whatever that people don't see. And I just don't understand why you do that.
We talk our music?
Yeah, I mean, like, what, you know, Kiss and hard rock bands anyway.
I saw fucking Kiss at Rock M Ring, was on Palladia a couple weeks ago. They must be the most boring fucking stage show. Yes, flashy lights and stuff going on, but they just stand at the fucking mic. I wanted to tell you that. I know you like them and you're a fan, but they just stand at the mics the whole time and no, just they sing. It must have been the song I was watching.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's actually one of the better stage shows I've seen.
Yeah, the show behind them is amazing.
Yeah, no, it's good. You know, the point was that apparently I sort of veered off from his point. He was talking about this. I guess the point was that apparently Kiss had backing tracks playing while they were playing a live show, like in Japan or something.
My thing is, if you can't play it and you need the backing tracks, don't fucking play it.
Right. And that's a separate issue, you know, using backing tracks. I'm okay if you're a four or five piece band and your album has an orchestral intro. Obviously, you're not bringing an orchestra.
Like Jimmy Borgir.
Yeah. Okay. So you have to play a backing track there. But like vocals or guitars or anything like that, that shouldn't be backing, you know. Okay. Hire somebody. But it just really kind of bugged me. I'm like, why would you have somebody playing and not put them on stage? What's the, you know, what kind of
ego? I think they're trying to keep that illusion alive.
Yeah, that ego.
It's Oz.
We do this. The four of us are doing this, and this is our sound, and nobody else is helping. Fuck you. You know, if you have to have a second or a third guitar player on there to do, just put them on the stage.
Imagine being that guy, that third or fourth guy. No, just stay under the stage.
Yeah.
Just
redheaded stepchild, stay down in the basement and play down there. I just don't get it.
Yeah, nobody likes you. Stay down there.
Yeah, that's messed up. So what do you think of Dave Grohl?
For what I see him coming out, he seems to be the face of rock music.
That's what I think. I've heard a lot of people talk shit about Dave lately.
He seems passionate.
Yeah.
And I say that because I saw a news story, but I think it was a documentary that he did about this. Have you seen this or heard about this? This famous recording studio where he went and he, all these artists, it may have been like, you know, blues and jazz and rock, had gone into this famous studio, maybe in Cleveland or somewhere, and he rescued the board from it.
It was probably on the Sonic Highways show.
It may have been.
Because he went around to all these different places around the country and they recorded a song in each of these different cities.
But yeah, but he's that guy, you know, flying the flag of rock music.
Yeah. Like I said, I keep hearing people talk shit about him. And I'm like, hey, from what I've seen and from what I've heard from people, he's one of the nicest guys. Is he playing heavy metal music? Not really. No. He's playing heavy music. He did that Probot album. He's doing this other thing coming out called Teenage Time Killers with a bunch of, I don't know, like punk and metal guys. I'm really curious to hear that. I mean, it's like Corey Taylor and like, I think COC, maybe I Hate God, some of those people. I can't remember the list. But whether he's playing heavy metal music or not, he has certainly over the years supported heavy music. You see him going on, you know, a show, and he's wearing a Slayer shirt, or I saw him wearing a Voivod shirt. So he's probably one of the best spokespeople that we've got, you know? People talk shit about him, but 20 years ago, maybe you would have had a leg to stand on with, oh, he's commercial, blah, blah, blah. Have you seen the state of guitar-driven music in the United States today? There is no such thing.
Mm-mm.
You know, there's still, like, indie rock stuff. But that's, even that's like not where it used to be. Everything now is country, rap, or like Justin Bieber electronic, or pop music.
Yeah, that, you know, I talked to a lot of guys at work. You know what's popular now? That electronic, whatever they call it.
Oh, like dubstep.
Yeah, and that type of stuff.
Yeah. You know, guitar-driven music is an endangered species in this country. And like, as far as I'm concerned, the only two real rock stars left.
Here in the States.
Current people. And, you know, obviously, you know, Paul McCartney or the Rolling Stones or, you know, those are rock stars. Always will be Led Zeppelin. But they're not, like, really active. Dave Grohl with the Foo Fighters, Jack White. Probably the only, and I'm not a big Jack White fan, but I respect him, and I like that he's trying to keep that type of music alive. So,
Axl Rose? No, stop.
I think, you know, Slash, I guess, is probably somebody. Yes, but, yes. But, you know, even he's not, like, putting out great music, as far as I'm concerned. So I think maybe, you know, don't wish so hard for somebody to go away when they might be our last gasp in this country. And the reason I brought it up originally was because he's the Record Store Day ambassador for 2015. I was like, all right, that's cool.
So is Dave Grohl our Lemmy?
Well, I mean, he's friends with Lemmy. You know, he recorded something with Lemmy. I can't remember what it is now. But he definitely played with Lemmy and did some recording.
Maybe
but
that Probot album.
Maybe. Something more recent. But anyway.
Anybody, you know, I'll say it again. Anybody flying the flag for rock music, you know, he goes on the late night talk shows. He does all the interviews and stuff. He's on he's in documentaries and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If he's out there doing it stronger than anybody, then we need him.
Yeah.
It can't hurt.
People call him pretentious, and I'm like, I just don't see it.
Passionate.
Passionate, yes. Pretentious?
No.
No, definitely not. Speaking of Record Store Day, Slayer's going to be releasing a 7-inch single, When the Stillness Comes, backed with Black Magic Live. You going to be picking that up?
Yeah, the art on it looks pretty sweet. The inverted cross on it looks pretty sweet. And, you know, it's Record Store Day, so yeah, I'll get on it. Even though it's their first track off, it's one of the tracks off their new album.
Yeah. A teaser.
Yeah. And we also found out that Metallica is going to release, what, No Life Till Leather?
Yeah.
On cassette.
On cassette. The original demo tape that started it all. They're going to put it out on cassette for Record Store Day.
Have you gone back with, what is it, Nuclear Blast? Some of these labels have been releasing, you know, cassettes again.
I don't get it.
Okay. I don't get it either.
I'm like, you know, it's got the people that are buying this have to be the kids that grew up today where there were no cassettes. And they're like, ooh, it's so retro to go buy cassettes.
Do you think they're buying them to listen to? Are they buying just for the factor?
I don't get it because, frankly, of all the music formats that I've ever encountered, cassette tapes are the worst.
Yeah. The last cassette I bought a couple of Dio at our local record shop, just they were like 50 cents each.
Mm-hmm.
And my coworker, my good friend, gave me a Bolt Thrower cassette.
Yeah.
Would I love to listen to it again just to hear that cassette sound? Yes. Do I have a cassette player? Could I put my hands on one? No.
Yeah. I have a dual cassette deck, like stereo rack mount kind of thing, somewhere in a box around here. I don't really have anything to hook it up to.
If George says, put your hands on a Super Nintendo or anything, I could go within 30 minutes to find one. You know, a cassette player. Do they even come standard on stereos you buy now?
No. Yeah. So, you know, some kids somewhere are thinking it's trendy to buy cassette tapes. And having lived through the cassette era, I'm like, just don't do it. You know, get a vinyl. At least it's a format that sounds good. I still have probably 600 cassette tapes in a box in the garage from that era that I didn't get rid of just because I'm sentimental. I want to go through and, like, you know, I put pictures of the vinyl that I buy up on Instagram. I want to go and just snap a bunch of pictures of the old cassettes. Just
on at Metalheads Podcast.
Yes. And I want to put those up there just as a little bit of cassette porn for the kids that are into that. But, God, I wouldn't ever want to listen to that again. That's fucking horrible.
A cassette does not sound. Did you used to know the times, though, on the cassettes?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'd be like, oh, yeah, man, you know, Master Puppets is 27 minutes on this side. And, you know, Rain and Blood, when I bought that, it was so confusing because I was like, man, look at how big this is. Because there was a lot of tape on there. That's because Rain and Blood, they put the whole album on both sides of the tape.
Really?
Yeah, because it was only like 29 minutes, yeah. Which I don't know why they didn't just put 15 minutes on one side and 15 on another, but yeah, they put the whole album on both sides. It was the only time I ever ran across that. So Tenacious D, this is going back a few weeks here since we haven't been around, but we wanted to mention about Tenacious D winning the best hard rock and metal performance at the Grammys. That was kind of cool.
I saw this taking a lot of flack online, and I have come out and said before, so have you, that the Dio tribute album that this song was featured on was amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Jack Black, people think he's some funny man, or not funny, but Jack Black and Kyle, they don't know what they're talking about. You know, they suck, blah, 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 blah. I personally think the song was great.
Yeah.
Now, again, I see where the anger comes from. If this is them winning a medal in an already fucked up award.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that means nothing.
Fuck the Grammys to begin with.
Exactly, exactly.
But in the word, it wasn't even on the show. My wife wanted to watch the Grammys, so I watched it. I was like, I know they're not even going to bother playing it. And they didn't, you know. And so I don't even know why they bother giving an award that they're not even going to present. But it was still cool that that song got some attention, because when I heard that song, I was bawling tears. I was like, that was so good.
Probably the best song on the album.
And I saw a few people online going, fuck Tenacious D winning. And I was like, fuck you. You know, whatever. It's not like the award means anything anyway. It's just kind of cool that somebody paid attention to that song.
Great point. Is it up, whatever it was up against, it's probably the least metal, you know, air quotes, song that was up for contention. But it's a great song.
At least it wasn't Jethro Tull. So another thing that is actually a few weeks old, something I saw in the news, was that the Doomsday Clock has moved up to 3 minutes to midnight. Of course, any metal fan worth their Iron Maiden collection knows that there's a song called 2 Minutes to Midnight by Iron Maiden. That, of course, came out in the 80s. And honestly, I don't remember. In the 80s, during the Cold War, maybe we were at 2 minutes to midnight. I don't really recall. Didn't have the internet back then to look that sort of thing up, but obviously it had moved away from midnight in the years since the 80s, and now we are at 3 minutes to midnight. And for those that you don't know, the Doomsday Clock, when it reaches midnight, that is Armageddon, the end of the human race. We destroy ourselves in thermonuclear war or whatever, what have you. Every time the clock inches a little bit closer to midnight, we get a little more screwed. But because of Iron Maiden, we can at least think that's kind of cool.
Okay, so like we like to do week to week, you know, the days leading up to the show, I put it out there on Twitter. We're at Metalheads Pod. If anybody has any talking points they'd like us to talk, or any music they want us to check out before we record, and our friend John at WhiteCluster69 sent us how about a best back to back or three albums in a row by a band.
That was interesting.
I thought that was really interesting, too. What first came to mind is, of course, we could say the Metallica or the Slayer. You know, they're three that they had back to back to back.
Yeah.
Pretty strong. What, Master, Ride the Lightning, and Justice.
Yeah. You know, a lot of bands release a lot of music. But even two in a row that are, like, really good, you really have to go for, like, the classic bands like that to find. And a back-to-back-to-back, you know, it just doesn't happen a lot.
No, it doesn't. So
I mean, Judas Priest was an example. I was looking through Judas Priest trying to find a back-to-back-to-back, and I couldn't, with a clear conscience, find three in a row that were what I considered classic.
I took this to mean three where my excitement was high, high, high.
Yeah.
And the first one I came up with, if you don't mind me starting first.
Go for it.
Amon Amarth.
Okay.
I think, reopened your eyes earlier in the year when we did them for our top three with Odin on our side in 06. Great album. Then they followed it up with Twilight of the Thunder God.
Yeah.
And then Suda Rising.
Suda Rising.
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, those are three good ones.
Three good ones right in a row. And then I go back to Opeth. It was, you know, two albums recorded at the same time, and if you pick one of the two, Deliverance or Damnation, to Ghost Reveries to Watershed.
Okay.
was great, but preceding that, Blackwater Park. So boom, it was four right there in a row. So I wanted to kind of go in for a little something different than cool. what I think the masses would go for.
Yeah, I went my list. I came up with one, two, three, four different back-to-back-to-backs, and they're all classics.
Yeah.
Black Sabbath, the first three albums, Black Sabbath, Paranoid, Master of Reality. Those are just fucking killer. The ones you already mentioned, I was like giving you the stinky eyeball.
I know, I'm sorry. I was
like, Metallica's Ride the Lightning, Master of Puppets, and Injustice for All. That's like the Holy Trinity right there.
It is.
I'm surprised you didn't go with this one, though. Cowboys from Hell, Vulgar Display of Power, and Far Beyond Driven.
Yes.
Pantera, come on. Mm. And then I also had Iron Maiden with Number of the Beast, Peace of Mind, and Power Slave. Ooh, you know, the first three Bruce albums, fucking killer. But not killers. And then finally, my four in a row, and I couldn't think of any others that were quite four in a row, but my four in the row, Sentenced with Down, Frozen, Crimson, and The Cold White Light.
You win. George wins this round. Yes. Again, we have always been mentioning Sentence from the first episode. They are our secret underground.
Yeah, they're not that secret.
No, they're not secret. But, you know, still, we're so amazed that when we'd go to metal shows and mention them to fans.
Deer in the headlight. What? Who? Well, they haven't been around for like 10 years.
That was a great list.
Yeah.
That was a great list.
Yeah, so thanks for, bringing that up. Yeah,
and John, when you do listen, you know, share back with us. What were your three or any of your back-to-backs that you really like? George, just I'm putting you on the spot here. Was there any back-to-back or maybe back-to-back where the third one was like,
yeah,
what was that?
Well, I was mentioning earlier, Priest.
Yeah.
Okay? And I was like screaming for vengeance, defenders of the faith, Turbo.
See, I like Turbo.
I mean, I like Turbo.
But
But it's not.
George was gunning. George was ready.
It's not on the same level. So. Yeah. All right. Well, we have a band for you this week, despite the fact that we don't have Yesterday's Saints. We do have a different band for you. I heard from this band a couple of weeks ago. Their name is Crescent, and they hail from Cairo, Egypt.
Badass.
That's fucking awesome. I love me some Middle Eastern extreme metal. Pretty much everything that I've heard out of there is pretty fucking awesome.
It's really cool.
So these guys wrote a couple of weeks ago and were like, hey, you can do a review, you know, the typical stuff that I get all the time. And I was like, well, I'm not really writing these days. I've been so busy with other things and I'm redesigning the site and I just haven't been writing. Other than the year-end list, I haven't done anything in like 4 or 5 months. But I'd sure love to put you on the podcast. And they wrote back and they were like, yeah, play some songs on the podcast. So, like I said, this is Crescent. They're like a black and death metal band from Cairo, Egypt. This is their first album called Pyramid Slaves. We're going to play you a song from that album now. And in fact, it is the title track, Pyramid Slaves. Check it out. We'll be right back. All right, that was Pyramid Slaves by Crescent. I had you check these guys out the other day. What'd you think about them?
Great. When I first heard where they were from, I thought, Nile.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was going to...
Nile can't top this. They're Nile actually from Egypt.
And the thing is, they don't work in the sounds of that region.
Well, I think they do. They just don't do it in a stereotypical sense.
That's where Nile does. I was trying to go with that.
Nile's an American band going, what's Egypt like? Yeah. I don't know. It's probably
I think Nile kind of rides on that too much sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe
these guys just sound natural.
I mean, I'm not saying that Nile doesn't do their research or anything. I'm sure they do, and it's probably at least based on something traditional.
Yeah,
but I would almost be a little disappointed if Crescent played that up a lot, you know?
Mm.
I'd be like, oh, well, that's the easy win there going for that, you know? So to do what they're doing, you know, the music's pretty fucking brutal. The
music is brutal.
And I love the music. The vocals are just like, bah! Well, you just heard them, you know? It's pretty fucked up shit. So these guys are pretty awesome. Check them out. You can pick up their album on Bandcamp for much less than you'll buy it anywhere else. It's like $7, I think. Stick around to the end of the show, and we'll play another song off Pyramid Slaves.
So I messaged you, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I asked you if you had seen this news, and you were like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
WTF.
Yeah, this is the announcement that Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden is battling cancer.
Yeah, that was just about, okay, fall down on the ground, go fetal, and just... If you've seen that picture of... It's like a drawing of, like, you know, go fetal, cry... I can't remember how it goes now, but I mean, I didn't get all worked up because it was like
the prognosis is
good.
Yeah, it's good.
It was like a tongue cyst or something.
As somebody speaking from personal experience, not with cancer, but who's seen an oral surgeon repeated times for procedures, speaking with him about this, he says a lot of these things. And what Bruce had was a lesion or something on the back of his tongue. Mm-hmm. It was caught, removed. Early. He's gone through 7 or 8 rounds of chemo.
I thought they said 3.
Oh, I thought it was longer.
But I thought it was like 7 or 8 weeks. But
it was
3 rounds of chemo.
Yes. 7 or 8 weeks, yes. But the prognosis is good. They expect a full recovery. And just like in any of these things, it sounds like it was caught early.
Yeah.
And whew.
Still makes me nervous, man. We lost Ronnie. To lose Bruce this early, I mean... He's not that old.
No.
You know, that would just suck. So, Bruce Dickinson, be well.
This one hit you harder than Dio?
Gosh. Well, only from a standpoint that he's like 10 years younger than Dio, you know? So, in terms of importance, well, yeah. I mean, as far as heavy metal vocalists go, I would say Bruce Dickinson is probably my favorite living heavy metal vocalist. So, yeah, so that would hit me very hard.
Yeah. So our thoughts are with you, Bruce. And I heard that the material for the new album has pretty much been finished.
Yeah, that's what Nico said.
But they're just kind of sidelining it, of course.
They're waiting to see what's up with Bruce. They had it in the can, apparently already done, before they found out about his condition. And so then they backburnered everything to wait and see, because they want to be able to put out the album and go on tour. And so they're waiting for Bruce to be ready to be able to go on tour.
Dude, just think right now, who's battling Tony and Bruce?
And who knows who else?
Yeah. Two of the metal fucking greats.
Yeah.
So best, God, glad they called early, and it seems like they were aggressive in treating it. So,
yeah. I hesitate to bring up this next item because, frankly, I'm already fucking sick of hearing about it. This is the Dimebag grave desecration scandal.
You know, the first thing that comes to mind when I hear this? Publicity stunt.
Yeah. And I'm like, it just makes me throw up in my mouth a little bit. I'm like, you know, I've heard not quite as much about this as I have about that stupid black and blue, gold and white dress thing. But whatever, you know. When I first heard, when you first sent me the headline of, like, you know, Dimebag grave desecrated, I was like, I was furious. I was like, oh! And then I read the actual article and I was like, who fucking cares? He put a piece of paper on there. So fucking what?
Yeah, I thought like desecrated, like beat up with like a sledgehammer or something.
Yeah, like in some way actually defaced it.
Yes.
You know, okay, so people are going to talk shit and say, oh, Dimebag sucks. Yeah, whatever. Fuck you. You know, we're metal fans. We're used to people telling us we suck. So... whatever. I'm done with it. I'm moving on. Did you hear about the death of Bruce Sanofsky?
I did not. I don't know.
You don't know who that is?
No.
He was one of the directors of Some Kind of Monster.
Hmm. What happened?
That was, I believe, diabetes related. He went to sleep and didn't wake up. He was only like 54 or something like that. Mm. But yeah, he's the two. There's two guys that they were metal fans, and they did the documentary on Metallica. They also did Paradise Lost. They were the ones that were documenting those kid, the metal fans that were accused of murdering the kid, and
yep.
And they were like going to be executed or something like that, I think, or at least life in prison. And they got off because they like I don't know did a retrial or something and found that the evidence wasn't enough to convict them and got them free. They're the ones that were they did the original documentary to cover that, and they used Metallica music in it. So I was kind of bummed when I heard about this guy's passing. Moving on.
Don't you go dropping on me, George.
I'll try not to. So the Icelandic drama Metalhead is finally going to be available on demand April 3rd. I've been hearing about this movie for at least a year. I've seen the trailer. It's not in English, but my sister mentioned it to me, and I was like, oh, it looks kind of cool. You know, it's like some chick, and she's dressed up in corpse paint and being dramatic and whatever, but it looks interesting. Hopefully they'll have subtitles so I can figure out what the hell's going on, but looks interesting. Might want to check that out. I was a little disturbed to find out that Century Media is in talks to be acquired by one of the big three music groups. They don't say which one it might be. It could be Sony, Warner, or Universal.
Is this going to be like Roadrunner?
I don't know. I don't really know what to think about that. Anytime you bring in one of the big music groups, I get nervous. They've done nothing but fuck metal up over the years. So,
yeah.
You know, I heard something about it on the radio, and I saw something on Blabbermouth about it, but I don't know anything more than that. I guess we'll see whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. What really excited me was I saw that Sam Dunn is making another documentary, this time about Voivod. You don't care.
No. Anything Sam Dunn does, you just like, man, that's sweet.
Except for the Alice Cooper movie.
Stephanie recorded that on Playdia for me, and I was like, all right, delete that.
Yeah.
Just because you told me it wasn't.
It wasn't that great. I mean, it was maybe an okay watch, but, you know, I learned a few things, but it just, I don't know, it just wasn't as good as some of his other stuff. I also saw that they're actually working on a new album for 2016, so hell yeah. I can't wait for that. Testament and Exodus are heading out on the Dark Roots of Thrash 2 tour with some band called Shattered Sun. I'd like to go to that just because I've never seen Exodus play at all, and certainly not with Steve on vocals.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see that.
The Testament was great when we saw them.
Oh, yeah. They're always great. Shattered Sun, I looked them up, and I like listened to a song, and it was very bad. It was, I don't know, like corporate metal.
Oh, boy.
It just wasn't. Yeah, it didn't do anything for me. Sorry.
You had your chance.
Dave Ellefson, a.k.a. Junior, says that the new Megadeth album will determine the new lineup. I'm not sure what that means. Yeah. That's kind of cryptic. I guess the songs that they've already written, they have to find people that can play them. I mean, that doesn't sound to me like a reunion kind of thing. So I don't know.
So this is what I mentioned during the Flack talk earlier. I messaged you this. This was a great deal. Relapse Records, to celebrate their 25 years being around, has released a 184-track sampler that you can actually name your own price for on Bandcamp.
I bought it for zero. I'm a cheap.
I gave him a dollar.
I might have. I don't remember. I thought I did it for free.
But it features a song from every band to be on their...
Or every album?
Yeah. No, yeah, features a song from every band to appear on their label.
On every album?
Yes.
Not every band, because bands are on there multiple times.
Oh, are they?
Pretty sure.
I didn't see that. I thought there was a different band.
I don't know. I haven't looked at it close enough. I thought I saw bands on there more than once, you know.
I didn't.
I mean, that's 184 songs, which would be 184 albums.
In 25 years, you can...
I don't know. I guess we didn't do our research on that one very well.
Just go on Bandcamp. It's a killer deal.
Yeah.
And if you pay $17, $18, you can get a pretty cool shirt with the logo. They have a cool Corrupted by Vinyl shirt that you can get.
As long as you're not fat. If you're fat like me, no shirt for you.
And also, George and I, too, if you listen to this podcast when we get it posted, Relapse also has a vinyl grab bag $10 or $15?
No. $40 for 10 albums.
$20 for five.
Nah. I don't think, maybe.
Yeah.
Was that what it was? I didn't look at the smaller one. I just went for the 10 albums for 40 bucks.
So they have, let's go on Relapse. They have a couple great sweet deals going on right now.
Yeah. And, you know, Bandcamp is cool because, like I said, I'm in the whole FLAC obsession right now. As part of that obsession, I went back up to Bandcamp and went to my collection of all the albums that I've ever purchased on there. And you're allowed to re-download anything that you've bought on there.
Yeah.
And they offer FLAC files for everything. So I went back and got all the albums I've ever bought on there and downloaded the FLAC files. I was like, sweet. And so that was one of them. I got that sampler. It was like a 6 gigabyte file for all 184 songs.
And I know you don't care about this guy, but Adam of Killswitch Engage, kind of funny. He went on the Price is Right, and he won it all. He won his game. He won the wheel to go to the showcase, and he won the showcase.
That's wild.
That's awesome.
As far as I'm concerned, that's the best thing he's ever done.
Moving on, Dimmu Borgir just announced that they have started pre-production for their new release, tentatively due by the end of the year. Given their last couple releases, I'm not so excited for this one.
I am. I don't know what you're complaining about. Everything they've done in the longest time has been awesome as far as I'm concerned.
Ever since Death Cult, they lost me.
Nah. I thought that last album was awesome.
Motorhead
is also supposed to have a new album out this fall.
I was going to say Morehead, as you wrote on my script.
It does say Morehead. I forgot the T. Oops. Yeah. So, you know, we've been talking about concerns about Lemmy's health, but I guess he's not so bad off that he can't record a new album, which, you know, it seems to happen like all the time.
Yeah.
It's probably every couple of years, but hey, I'll take it. More Motorhead, please.
Now, this is my favorite news that we have here. Thrash band Warbringer, who we thought may have been breaking up after a couple members left,
mm-hmm.
are back in action. They have a new lineup, and they are going to be touring and writing for a new album coming up.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep.
We interviewed
John Keevil.
Yep, John, downtown. Spent a couple hours with him. It was a great, great time. I really want the best for these guys, because they're just a great thrash band.
Yeah, I like them a lot.
So,
all our best to them.
Yeah, best of luck to you guys.
I've been hearing that Metallica had been working on a new album, and they were just kind of like non-committal and like, yeah, you know, it'll probably be next year sometime. Maybe we don't know when we're going to have time, blah, blah, blah. But they said that the other day that they've got almost 20 songs written for the new album, which doesn't mean a lot. You know, they've written 20. They'll whittle that down to 10. Then they still have to record it. As far as I can tell, that just means they've written them, that they probably demoed them, but they haven't done the recording yet, so it still probably won't be this year. But at least they're making progress.
Not even in December?
Doubt it.
Yeah, because with them it's a big production.
Yeah.
Now, I saw this news, and I was wondering if this was that big of a deal.
You see, I wrote on the script here, it says huge music news, and it's huge in that it's huge, and yet it's subtle, okay?
Okay.
New music comes out every Tuesday.
Yep. Sort of video games and a lot of stuff. But video games have switched to this same day, too.
It's always been this way for years and years and years, for as long as I've collected music. And there's always been different release dates for Europe and the rest of the world. So you've got a new album coming out. Almost always, it comes out in Europe before it comes out here.
Yep.
And sometimes by as much as a month. You're like, oh, well, it's going to come out March 1st in Europe, March 31st in the U.S., and you're like, fuck. And so either you're looking for an illegal download to get it before it comes out, or as I have done in the past, like when the last Woods of Ypres album came out, mm-hmm. I paid a huge amount of money to order it from Europe when it came out and get it a month early. So this news is coming out of the IFPI, which is the International Federation of the Phonographic Industry, and they have said that they've agreed to an international common release day of Fridays. So that means when an album comes out,
Friday means Friday.
Friday means Friday. Friday means Friday here and in England and in Sweden,
New Zealand,
everywhere. Because they're hoping that this will cut down on pirating by giving everybody the option to get it at the same time. Now, is this huge in an impact on music listeners? No, but it's definitely a big restructuring of how music is released throughout the world.
The cool thing about this is that everybody all at once can get on that hype train.
Yeah.
Everybody can find an album, pick it up the same day,
mm-hmm.
can talk about it, promote it, and take all as one.
Yeah, I don't know why we didn't do this years ago, but it's going to take some adjusting for me. I mean, like, Tuesday, that's my thing. Music Tuesday.
What's new releases, yep.
It's like, now I got to wait till Friday. you know, end of the week, new releases on Friday. I can deal with that. But apparently this is going to switch over and start happening sometime in July.
Yeah.
So be looking for that.
And speaking about July and our final news story, Randy Blythe from Lamb of God has said that his book, his Dark Days memoir, will be released July 14th.
I'll be picking that up.
I'll be picking it up, too. It's a look into his arrest and trial for the death of the fan.
Yep.
It's over in Prague.
Prague, Czech Republic, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, should be interesting.
Apparently, Randy says he didn't hold anything back, so be interesting to see what was in his head.
Yeah,
at that definitely. Time. So how about some new releases, buddy?
All right. Well, there's not too many this week, but there are a couple of good ones on here. First one is A Forest of Stars and their new album, Beware the Sword You Cannot See. Did you listen to this one at all yet?
I did.
What'd you think?
No, it's different, but nothing was standing out for me now. There's another one on here that excited me more than this one.
I really like the music on it. I'm not that big a fan of the vocals. They're harsh, but they're kind of buried. I mean, there's so much cool going on with the music. If they could have just spent a little more time making the vocals stand out, I think this would have been a phenomenal album. But I'm with you. Because of the vocals and the way they are, you know, take it or leave it. This next one I know that you are definitely not on board for is the new Leviathan album, Scarsighted.
You know me well.
I've never really been a fan of this guy either.
This is brutal. This is really...
I listened to this because, you know, every time a band
comes up... It's American black metal.
Yeah, every time a band comes up that I have traditionally not liked, they come out with a new album, I always try to give them a chance. You know, I'm like, okay, here's your shot. Convince me. And I listened to this with a fresh ears. And I got to admit, the music I kind of like. It's interesting. It's pretty intense. But it's not noise. What mucks up the things for me is the vocals. Fucking hate his vocals. It's always what kills me for a band. They're just not any. They're just so ethereal and they don't stand out from the music at all. And I fucking hate that.
I can't get in these guys. Him. I think, is it just him?
Yeah.
Yeah. He sucks, personally.
All right. So this next one.
Yeah, this is Cancer Bats Searching for Zero.
I'm surprised when you said how much you liked this, because I've played them for you in the past, and you hated them.
This album, it's, you know, quickly trying to put my hand on something. It's just like a harder, hard rock,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Well, honestly, they used to be very Every Time I Die.
Mm-hmm.
With the really screechy, yeah. Can't stand it. You know?
Not on this.
No. And they did an EP a little while back. I think it was Black Sabbath covers.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Bat Sabbath. And he sang differently on that than they normally did on their previous albums. And I was like, huh, I kind of dug it.
Yeah.
And so I went into this one going, well, let me see if he's... And he does sing differently. He doesn't have that quite so screechy voice.
I never heard it once.
No. And so I haven't listened to this but once yet. But yeah, it's not bad.
It's not bad at all. That's probably my favorite on here. And actually, this next one, Enslaved, their In Times album released this week.
Yeah.
Upon hearing this, I was like, hey, send me some Enslaved so I can check out more. On second and third listens of this, I've heard what you talk about. His vocals are still...
They just grind on me.
Yeah. Screechy.
I like the music a lot, and I really have a great respect for Enslaved. But I've always had a little bit of trouble getting into the harsh vocals because they're just kind of wet sounding. You know, I like a more dry... It's like, you hacking something up there? What is going on? I've just never really gotten into those harsh vocals. But this next band, I can't believe you're not like tripping over yourself to like love this next band, because they're definitely one of my favorite albums of the year so far. This is the band Melakesh and their album that I'm probably going to mispronounce, Enkai.
I can only say it because I've listened to it, just not enough. So yeah. I don't want to say one thing or another yet.
Personally, I think this is like one of the death metal albums of the year.
You've already texted me 3 or 4 times about, have I listened to this, listen to this.
Yeah, you need to listen to this.
And then Psycroptic, their self-titled one, just a technical death metal band.
Yeah, I liked their last album a lot.
I did too.
But I don't know if you've listened to this one. It just didn't grab me as much as the last one.
This is my type of death metal I like to listen to. Because this one grabs me just as much.
Yeah?
Yeah, when I like my death metal, I like it technical, so.
Well, yeah, I do too, but I don't know, there was just something about it that wasn't quite, I don't know, maybe I'll have to go back and listen to the last one and then listen to this one and see if I can figure out what it is. Maybe I just haven't listened to it enough yet, but on the whole, I think they're a cool band. So last night I said, hey, Buke, what should we do for our top three this week? And he has a knack for coming back at me with things that I'm like, hell yeah, let's do that. He's like, let's do Candlemass.
You and I have both been on this classic doomy sound.
I mean, I'm a huge Candlemass fan. That's, you know.
We're not going to match.
We're not. But
my third,
we never do.
Nope, we never do. Let me start, buddy.
Go ahead.
My third, this one I like a lot. This one I probably more recently have played a lot. This is their, let me just check the year here. This is their 2005 release. They're self-titled. Candlemass.
Really? The Return of Messiah.
Exactly. It opens up with that track, Black Dwarf.
Yeah.
It just hooks you right from the start.
I'd considered listening to that again. I did a little quick, you know,
listen
spot check of some of the albums to make sure I was right in what I was thinking, and I didn't hit that one because, well, basically, I didn't go that new. But, yeah, I should have considered it.
Number two, Ancient Dreams.
Okay.
Mirror, Mirror, A Cry from the Crypt came out in 88. And number one, which are probably, Nightfall.
Yeah.
Number one.
Okay.
Yeah. At the Gallows End.
Samaritan.
The greatest video in all of heavy metal, Bewitched.
You are bewitched.
He busts out of a casket. It's, I die laughing now. You wouldn't have yourself a laugh tonight whenever you listen to this. Just watch this video. But yes, that's my number one.
And you know, the guy that filmed that video was a member of Bathory.
Okay.
And B, he's gone on to be like a huge, like, international director.
You gotta start somewhere. And if it's in the cheesy music video, you got to.
Yeah.
But hey, Nightfall was 87. Considered by many their best.
Considered by many.
Damn it.
Okay. No. Okay.
George has never won follow trends.
Oh, I am. So my number three, Ancient Dreams.
Okay.
And you know, when I went back to listen to this again, I was doing a little reading on it, and the band hated this album when it came out because the production was fucking horrible. And I was lucky enough to listen to what I believe was a 2011 reissue.
Okay.
And they've really fixed that album up because it sounded amazing. It was very punchy and crisp and clear. And I was like, oh yeah, that's why I love this album. Ancient Dreams, number three. Number two, I'd really be surprised to put in an album that doesn't have Messiah Marcola on it. Yet, that's exactly what I'm doing at number two. This is their first album, Epicus Dumicus Metallicus. Nightfall was the first album that I ever listened to by Candlemass, which is, of course, their second album. But Epicus Dumicus Metallicus, I got that shortly thereafter, and I don't know if I didn't notice or just didn't care that it was a different singer, because it's definitely a different style.
If you listen to Solitude, you can't tell.
But it's just a fucking amazing album. Solitude, A Sorcerer's Pledge.
Demon's Gate, Crystal Ball.
Yeah, it's a fucking phenomenal album, even though it's not Messiah Marcola. And even, you know, the Robert Lowe albums, I considered giving a little love to those because while, to me, Messiah Marcola is Candlemass, Robert Lowe, formerly of Solitude Aeternum, is a fucking phenomenal singer as well. And I don't want to give the impression that I'm dissing him in any way. But top three is top three. Number one, Nightfall.
Okay.
I had you going.
You did.
How could I not go Nightfall? Come on. You know, like I said, Nightfall was the very first album by Candlemass that I picked up. And I picked it up in like 88.
Was it based on the album art? Because it's a cool album art.
I bought it on vinyl in 88. I bought it on vinyl. It was very, very first Candlemass bought on vinyl. I never got it on.
Do you still have it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I I had to listen to it on vinyl for years, for like 10 years before I finally found it on CD and picked it up. So no Johnny Come Lately vinyl guy me. No, I picked up Nightfall on vinyl in 88.
Just because the album art, or had you heard about them?
I'd read about them in a magazine.
Okay.
It was like, you know, new band, Candlemass. I was like, Candlemass, that's a cool name. And I was in the record store and I saw it. I mean, the album art is cool, but you wouldn't think it to be metal by looking at it.
No.
But I was like, Candlemass. I read something about these guys. And I picked it up and I was like, holy shit, what an album. So there you have it. Top three Candlemass. We need to have a little theme music that we come up with for this next segment, you know? This convincing Buke.
Like a music.
Da,
yes.
Da, 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 da. It's time to convince Buke. Da, da, da. Something along those lines.
A jingle.
You know? A jingle, yeah. So convincing
and
Buke.
And then have like a music bed playing under this as we.
Yeah. So weeks ago, like two episodes ago, I challenged Buke to get into some black metal, because he's always talking about how much he doesn't like black metal. So I gave him the band Dawn and their album Slaughter Son, Crown of the Triarchy. And I posted three songs onto our Facebook, and he had to check those out and come back and say whether or not he was convinced that this was some good black metal. So I hand it over to you.
I'm just look at you crossing your arms. I will say this. I listened to a, 2011
reissue.
Mm-hmm. Cleaned up.
Yeah.
Okay. The blast beats hit me in the face.
Dude, this is like so Dissection-like, though.
It is. It is.
And you like Dissection.
And I do. And I'm telling you, the thing I like about this is the vocals, and I listened to it again at work last night. The vocals, again, are not that screechy black metal from the stuff that I've heard that turned me off before.
Sure.
This is that you hear that atmospheric, you know, sounds with it. It's epic.
Yeah. And given this is from the 90s, the fact that this sounds this good,
yeah. You
know, it's tragically underrated.
Yeah. Prior to you asking me to listen to it, I had never heard them. So, George, this third or fourth round of convincing Buke, you win.
Thank you, sir. Score a point for me.
You win. This is a win for you. I'm not saying we're going all black metal yet.
Oh, you're going to get there. you're going to be asking me for Dark Throne anytime now. No,
but thank you for asking me to listen to this. Excellent. Yeah, I truly enjoyed this.
Right on.
Truly, it's awesome.
Well, that's why I do this. I'm trying to expand your mind and open you up to new music you haven't listened to before. And of course, everybody else that's listening. All right, so what have you been listening to?
Okay, we have talked bad about Blind Guardian in recent years and how Blind Guardian is not Blind Guardian, what we like.
They have been replaced by clones from another dimension.
They're not the same, and I have been waiting to record this episode to come hype these guys, but Blind Guardian has fallen off for me. They used to be a band I really liked a lot. Then their most recent releases, this year, it was kind of...
It's not bad.
It's not bad, but it's not the Blind Guardian we like. Well, I found it.
Yeah.
And they're from Israel.
Yep.
And they're the band Desert. And their album about to come out, Never Regret.
Indeed.
This album is Blind Guardian like we like them.
Yeah. I thought you might get into that. Their last album, I was like you are right now. I actually haven't really listened to this new one yet.
Oh, we will play it today going to Baltimore.
But when their last album came out, they sent me a promo, and I was like, holy hell. I mean, that was mm-hmm. the real deal. And so if it's anything like that last one, I can understand why you're so fired up.
Take like the good parts of Sabaton,
mm-hmm.
again, Blind Guardian, and the guy, again, from the Middle East. The accent on his voice and his singing, oh man, it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm loving this album.
Right on. Yeah,
Desert, you see, I'm getting so excited. Desert, Never Regret. These guys are awesome. Check them out.
Definitely. So my band this week, I came across them sort of by accident. As I mentioned, I was on Bandcamp going through and re-downloading all my old purchases in FLAC format. And on Bandcamp, after you, when you're on the download page, it's like waiting. You're preparing the files for download. And then when it's ready, there's a download link and you can hit the button and it downloads the album. And at the bottom of the page, they have this like, you know, you might also like. And while I was re-downloading some of my Woods of Ypres, the home single, at the bottom of the page, it listed a band called Adora Vivos. And Adora Vivos, for those that don't know, is a song from the Woods 4, Woods of Ypres, Gray Skies and Electric Light album, which roughly translates to Worship the Living. So I was like, meh? You know, Adora Vivos, right? What is that? So I'm like, are these like, you know, are they influenced by Woods of Ypres? And so I look them up and, well, obviously they've got to be. Adora Vivos is, if you Google Adora Vivos, it's all Woods of Ypres. It's not like people say that, use that Latin saying for anything else. And you look at their influences and they do list Woods of Ypres as an influence. So I was like, well, I'm going to definitely check this out. And I ended up buying the album on Bandcamp. And it's only, I guess, an EP. It's like 5 songs. It's not exactly Woods of Ypres worship. It is a like proggy death doom. There are some clean vocals that are definitely reminiscent of Woods of Ypres, kind of deep and clean. But then the rest of the music, you know, you wouldn't mistake it for Woods of Ypres, but it's still pretty cool. And so, you know, it's funny how one thing leads to another. You know, a song turns into a band name and voila, I have made this connection that I wouldn't have previously made. So it was definitely pretty cool. You can check them out on Bandcamp. It was only like a couple bucks, I think, to pick up the album. So I recommend checking it out. What's your classic for this week?
We may have covered these guys, and I think you may have done their first album. So if you covered their first album, and I'm now doing their third album, Forgive Me. I was looking up the history on my phone here while you were talking. This is a 93 release from a band where their style changed to death and roll, as they would
must be entombed.
It's entombed. It's Wolverine Blues.
Right on.
You gave me this album years ago. The first one you gave me when we first started hanging out and we were burning CDs and trading music. This is the first entombed you started. And you gave me so much music then, you know, but kind of just fell by the wayside.
Right.
Not all on purpose. You know, I was just, when you're overloaded, you know, what you don't know what to really listen to.
Sure.
And in our vinyl buying that we've done, you know, you posted again on Instagram at Metalheads Podcast, you bought the Entombed AD vinyl about a month and a half back. So I was like, man, I've never really listened to Entombed again. Let me go back and check these guys out. Well, this is almost a little stretch, but that kind of Cancer Bat sound now, heavier is what I heard coming through in this.
I love Wolverine Blues.
It's awesome.
Hands down my favorite Entombed album. Definitely one of my favorite 90s extreme metal albums. I mean, and it wasn't that extreme compared to like Carcass and stuff like that, because obviously, like you said, it was more of a death and roll. They were sort of introducing a little lighter sound into like a death metal. But that album is just so damn catchy.
It's catchy. That's it. It's catchy.
I'm full of hell.
Yes. It's just a rock and roll with death on top of it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's how their sound's evolved since.
And, you know, I don't get into a lot of lyrics, but the lyrics on that album are cool. You know, they're not like take to heart kind of stuff, but they're cool.
Yeah. So. I think you may have done Left Hand Path.
I don't know.
On another.
Maybe.
Yeah, you may have. But you've always been high on Entombed, and I just sat down and really listened to them this past week. Great stuff.
Oh, now, definitely.
And I know, you know, since they've kind of split up and now you have Entombed AD and stuff like that, they're still keeping this style going.
Yeah, I thought the new album was pretty good.
And what was it? The guys from Entombed left? Was it The Haunted that they did?
Who? What?
To some members, their side projects from Entombed. What have they gone on to also do?
I don't know.
Who am I thinking of who did The Haunted?
It was At the Gates.
That was At the Gates members. Okay, yeah. See, thank you.
No, I mean, Entombed AD is basically Entombed with one, like, I don't know if it's the guitar player or somebody, without him.
That's it, yeah. So, I'm loving it.
All right.
So that's my classic. So again, thank you. Again, years later.
All right. Well, my classic for this week is a classic that is just making classic status this year. This is Paradise Lost and Draconian Times. Hands down, my favorite Paradise Lost album. I can't believe that it's been 20 years since this came out. I mean, I bought this when it came out, and I loved it then, and I don't love it any less now, today, 20 years later. It's just, you know, I knew it was classic then, and now it literally has the status of classic. An amazing, amazing album. During the 1995 this came out. 95, smack dab in the middle of grunge alternative.
Yep.
I was despairing of finding good music at this time in my life. I listened to some of the grunge stuff. I liked Nirvana and Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, things like that. But by this point, thrash had died off for the most part. I mean, sure, there was Metallica and Megadeth, Slayer and whatnot. And of course, by 95, death metal and black metal were taking off, but I wasn't really into that yet. I hadn't found my... It was another year or so before I really got into that. And so when Paradise Lost came along with Draconian Times, I latched onto that. I was like, this is what I've been looking for. Why can't people do more of this? Well, 20 years later, people are still trying to catch up to that album, as far as I'm concerned. You know, you just can't top this album. It's fucking phenomenal. When I was going through looking for a classic for this piece, I actually pulled up a list of albums that came out in 95, and I was blown away by how many albums are reaching their 20-year mark this year. At the Gates, Slaughter of the Soul is 20 this year. Carcass Swan Song, 20 years. Death Symbolic is 20 years old.
Wow.
My God. Deicide's Once Upon the Cross, the first album that they actually kind of sucked. So it's been 20 years since Deicide was really any good. Dissection, Storm of the Light's Bane is 20 years
old. Wow.
Fear Factory's Demanufacture, that was a huge album with me as well that year.
Oh.
Moonspell's Wolfheart, 20 years old. Opeth's Orchid is 20 years old. Sentenced Amok, so the last album before...
Before Villa joined.
Before Villa joined, yeah. It's just, you know, Unleashed, their album Victory is 20 years old. It's crazy how old this is all getting.
How old you are.
How old I am. And I'm not as old as you say I am.
Like when I interviewed Sean, let's just get it on the record. I'm like, yeah, George is...
I edited that right the fuck out of there. He's like, yeah, George is like, I don't know, X number of years old. And he wasn't even in the ballpark.
That's like, what, 48 or something?
I was like, dude, you're not even in the ballpark. And so I edited that out. I was like, I cannot have people think that that's even remotely close. It's like, dude, how long have you known me? Do I really seem that old?
Yeah. George is the creepy old guy hanging best friends with someone 20 years younger.
Jesus Christ. People are going to be asking you if I molested you.
Oh, buddy, it was...
Which I have.
Well, George, it was great getting back in here today, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Mr. Gist is going to be a long one.
Not too long, not compared to some...
Or so.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly us talking. We don't have any interviews or anything, so... But between us and the music, it's going to be a pretty good-sized episode.
Thanks to Crescent, again, for letting us share your music.
Yep, and we'll get to them and another song here in a moment. But before we do, we like to remind you to check us out on iTunes. Please subscribe. Leave us some comments. You can check us out on YouTube, Stitcher, and also on our website, wearemetalheads.com.
Site redesign forthcoming?
Yes. In fact, I almost forgot to mention the new graphics.
Yes. I reached out to a graphic artist friend of mine who had done a couple pieces for us. And in the coming weeks, you will see new art from our friend Josh Marler, if I'm saying that correctly. You can search out his work at DroneJMR1. Again, at DroneJMR1.
On Twitter.
Or his website, Josh Marler. MARLAR.com. He does sick work. He drew up a sick logo for us. And of course, I don't think he had it intended, but it looks Geiger like.
Yeah, Geiger, yeah.
Geiger like. It looks amazing.
Honestly, you know, we'd been discussing, I wanted to, you know, hire somebody to give us a new graphic. And to be perfectly honest, this was nowhere near where I was planning to go with it. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just not where my mind was. But when I saw this, I was like, oh, that's so Geiger. And I was like, okay, I'm on board. Let's do it.
And Josh, he told us he'd be listening. Josh, thanks for putting up with a bunch of emails back and forth when we were bothering you about, can you tweak this or can you do this?
It wasn't too bad, you know, just a few minor alterations. But, in fact, unless something goes horribly wrong, you should be seeing the new graphic with this episode. And I'm going to go through and update all the old episodes so that it's on everything. There's going to be a new look to the site as well at some point. I haven't gotten that far yet, but...
Probably doing away with Metal Disciple?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think so. I wanted to combine everything into one, but I couldn't get the URL I wanted. I wanted to get metalheads.com, and then I would just put everything under that banner, but I was not able to acquire it. You know, if you go to metalheads.com, you don't get anything.
Damn, you squatters.
It's just a squatter, and the dude wanted $18,000 for the fucking domain. I was like, you've been sitting on this domain for 12 years. I looked it up. Not doing anything with it for 12 years. I'm willing to give you a fraction of that, and you can make some money. Or you can say you want $18,000 and just sit on it and not get anything out of it. But he didn't want to do it. So I did acquire metalheadspodcast.com. So you can hit that as well. Wearemetalheads.com or metalheadspodcast.com will take you to the same place.
Well, thanks again, buddy.
You can also get a hold of me on Twitter at DiscipleOVMetal.
I'm at OpethFan.
And you can get a hold of either of us at MetalheadsPod. All right, we're going to end the episode now with another song from Crescent from their album Pyramid Slaves. This is the song An Ode to Kaddish.